Good morning, church. Let's stand and sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please stay standing. Welcome to Kanawha City Church of Christ. My name is Carson. If you don't know me, hello. I am so blessed to be up here leading worship, but also just being with my family. Hello, family. Good to see y'all. We have some upcoming events. Is that the next slide, I believe? Or is it prayer? It's upcoming events, yes. So next week, just a reminder, next week after service, we're going to have a quick meeting with the elders talking about our search for a preacher, and there will be pizza. So there's no excuse, Ed, you're going to be there because of pizza. That's right. Put on your calendars right now, August 9th and 10th. August 9th is a Friday at 7 p.m. at the Kanawha Valley Church. We're going to be partnering with them, assembling some backpacks, and pizza will be provided there too. That is in preparation for August 10th at 10 a.m. the next morning on a Saturday, August 10th at 10 a.m., will be a back-to-school carnival at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments, kind of above the Fruith there. And that's where we're going to provide some food, fun, entertainment, and also give them some much-needed school supplies. So fun fact, I believe whenever we started talking about this event with them, they were like, I think we're going to get maybe 50 kids involved. I think we're up to like 200. So something crazy. So I think we're very needed to help participate in that. And that is all. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, praise your name. We praise your name, and we want to make sure that every single thing we do here in this congregation, this auditorium, in this place of worship is just to praise your name. We want to make sure that we lift up your spirit and that we lift up each other's spirit, and we are an encouragement to each other, those that are hurting, those that are not hurting, those that are feeling the best day of their life, those that are feeling less than that, Lord. We want to be an encouragement, but also make sure that your name is praised above all else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And before we continue, let's say hello to everyone. Go ahead. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Amen. All right, two more songs before communion. So please, let's rise for these next two songs. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. New and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, seen his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. Please be seated.
Does everyone have a communion set? If not, we'll raise your hand and we'll get you one. This morning I'm going to take a little excerpt from a sermon on communion I did. Since the earliest times, man has needed a physical action to go along with his worship. We're reminded Cain and Abel had an altar in the earliest part of Genesis, and down through the Old Testament, individuals and nations alike have built altars and shrines to commemorate significant events. Even in the Old Testament, the Israelites amazed me that they couldn't wait for Moses to go on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments without building a golden calf to worship in his absence. And after that, they built a temple instructed by God, but it gave them a place to worship. And, you know, the Jewish people would travel thousands of miles every year for Passover just to have a physical presence. But now that we're under the new law, Christ has left us a very simple but powerful reminder of what he sacrificed for us. And I know everybody here, we've talked about, Chris talked about our freedom, and Terry gave us an excellent view of what Christ suffered for us. I was thinking last week when Carson said, you know, well, Jesus was always here with us, that sometimes when you get up on Sunday morning and you've studied all night or worked all night or maybe just been out all night, you kind of hesitate to get up, but then it hits you. I've got to take communion, which is what a lot of people think. But then when you do that, you have that incentive to come do the physical act. You know, a lot of times it's like, well, I came, but then there's a sermon that really hits home for you and makes you feel better. And even if it doesn't jar you, you always feel better when you've been here. If you go a week and you miss church for some reason, it really seems to throw you off. So I really think we're fortunate that Christ gave us this physical act, as simple as it is, to really motivate our souls each week. So now, if you will, we'll bow our heads for the bread. Our Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for Christ, who sacrificed his life for us, for the love he had for us to do that, to leave us this simple but powerful reminder of that. At this time, we'd ask you to go with us, help us to be thankful for this emblem, and these things we ask in Christ's name. Continue our thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father, once again, we thank you that Christ suffered for us, shed his blood for us. Help us to be good representatives of you, and help this to remind us to do this daily. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This concludes the communion, but at this time we always take the opportunity to lay by in store to continue the work of the church. And if you will, bow with me and we'll pray for that. Our Father, once again we come to you thanking you for all the opportunities we have to worship in this country. We ask that you be with us. Help us to use our funds wisely to serve you and spread your word. Help us to be free givers and not cherish the money that we have, but give it freely to for the work of this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, kids, it's time for you to shine and go to class. Is Tom McNeely in the lobby? No. I put this song in just for him. Come on, Tom. You got to experience it. It's his favorite song. There we go. All right, let's stand and sing. I know, got a thumbs up. Let's stand and sing before Greg comes up and blesses us with some words. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, hand it down to this age. Come to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful word of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Good morning. It's funny, we're never too old to learn things. In my career, I do a lot of lecturing, both in colleges and CE conventions. Never, ever got nervous doing that. But anytime I get up front of a church, I always get nervous because I'm afraid that something I might say or do could negatively affect someone's eternal salvation. I didn't realize till about 6 weeks ago when the preacher you grew up with, I forgot his name, that you showed the videotapes of, Rick said, nothing we do from this podium is transformational. It can be transactional. We can talk to you and you can listen to what we have to say, but transformation is between you and Christ. And finally hit me. I don't have that much power. So now I'm a lot more calm when I come up to talk. So I want to talk to you today about, I'm going to talk to you if I can get my slides going, about a couple of figures in the Bible. I want to look at them and their lives, and I want to talk about who is it that we're searching for. A few weeks ago, probably about 6 weeks ago, oh, by the way, I want to say this, about 3 weeks ago, as all of you know, I had to go to the emergency room, and I had E. coli in my bloodstream. And they looked all over trying to find where it came from, and finally said, well, we're going to do gallbladder surgery, but we don't think that's it. And the surgeon told me before I went in, it'd take about 15 minutes. And 2 hours later, they came out, and Pick and D was there with me, and they told him that when they went to take the gallbladder out, it just started shredding. Even though the scans showed a little bit of sludge, it didn't show the inflammation and adhesions were there. So they started to open me up and take it out that way, but they decided since it was shredding, they could get it out through the arthroscopic openings, but they had to put a lot of gas to blow me up for that. So I've been in a lot of pain, so I apologize for my attire today. I just don't like to tuck my shirt in yet. It hurts still. So, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. Had that not happened to me, and they didn't do a full search on me, they wouldn't have found what they think is a cancerous tumor in my left kidney. And that's scheduled now to be taken out August the 14th. And they think they can do that with robotics and laser surgery, just a partial nephrectomy, and I'm going to be fine. But I feel like a wimp because I have suffered more than I've ever suffered in my life from any pain from any surgery. And then I look back at Tom Winnell and I see what he's been going through. And I think, I have no excuse to complain. I've been very blessed. And I think of my brother-in-law, who spent over a year in ICU after a lung transplant and now is waiting a kidney transplant, and the suffering that they've gone through. And it just makes me feel very blessed and very humbled that this is all I've had to face. But I do thank you for all your prayers. They mean a lot. So a few weeks ago, I was talking about Judas Iscariot, and it was one of those biblical figures that I always kind of struggled with a little bit because I always wondered, I always felt like, well, he kind of got used. And the reality is he did, but I didn't finish the story when I would always look at it, and I talked about that. And how Judas, Christ knew that Judas was going to betray him. That was prophesied. And as Matt pointed out a few weeks later, that was prophesied. But Judas's death was not prophesied. Judas made a decision, and it was the wrong decision, and he had a tragic ending. And I kind of looked at that, and I still thought, how could he walk and talk and pray and hug and feel the love of Christ for 3 years and still not grasp what that was about? And then reading further on, I'm going to read a passage from John. John chapter 20. I'm going to start with the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, a little side to that, I always kind of grin when I read this because I wonder why John didn't name that other disciple. I kind of think it was probably because it was him. And I wonder, I don't think they read each other's transcripts while they were on earth, but when they got in heaven, I always wondered if Peter just went up to John and said, "Really? You had to dish me like that?" the disciple that Jesus loved and me? And then the other disciple outran me to the tomb. You just kind of had to do that little dig in. And then you think about the disciples and how they followed Christ. But even during the time that Christ was here, they fought often over who was going to sit at his right hand, who he loved the most, who was the most important. And at this point, obviously, that little bit of that still lingered on. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying on its place, separate from linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. I find that amazing. She spent some 3 years in his ministry, walking around talking with him and seeing him do all the miracles that he did, and she looked him face to face and didn't know it was him. It's because she wasn't expecting him to be there. Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." Not till she heard his voice and him call her Mary did she recognize him. So here we have Judas and Mary, who spent quite a bit of time with Jesus up until the cross. After the cross, all the disciples, Peter denied him 3 times. They all ran and hid except one. And when they came back and they found him, Mary didn't even recognize him when she looked at him. But Mary didn't make the same choice as Judas. Mary said, "Rabboni." She recognized him as her teacher. And when she did, she went and told the other apostles about Christ. So history shows Mary actually told the first gospel sermon. That's the difference between rejecting Christ and accepting him. So what I want to talk today about is I want to kind of think about Mary when Jesus said to her, "Who is it you're looking for?" I want to look at it a couple different angles. This world we're living in today is bombarding the churches with outside influence. And they're trying to demand that the churches be inclusive. That's their word. That's called virtue signaling. They're saying, you have to be inclusive. That's your call. As a Christian, you must be inclusive. And you know what? They're right. But there's a difference between appearing to do good and actually doing good. Being inclusive does not mean we help people develop into their sinful nature and say, "That's okay, God made you that way." Being inclusive means, let us show you, as the Apostle Paul said, a better way. And that better way is the way of Christ, not the way of the world. We are to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Jesus sat with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. But he didn't go away changed. They went away changed. We are supposed to be inclusive. We go into this world and we will talk to people about Christ. We'll share Christ with others. And they're going to tell us, "Well, you need to include me because I want to be a part of that, but I want to do it my way." And that's not the way the world works. That is the way the world works. That's not the way the church works. It's our duty to lead people away from their sin. It is our purpose to be inclusive, but to lead people away from their sins. And we, every day, everybody here is a sinner. None of us are going to make it through our actions. We all fall short of the glory of God. But every day we try to be better. And we know that we're forgiven of our sins. And that's the message of the cross, that the world is not sharing. And there are whole denominations that are falling into this trap. I don't want to name names, but there is a national congregational meeting of one of the churches that purport to worship Christ. And they showed the introduction of their delegates. And each delegate got up and said their name, their gender identity, and their pronouns. And not a single one stood up and said, I'm a Christian. That's all we need to be identified from. There is no sin in this world that's too great for God. We can look to the world and see what's happening to this world. But we cannot be concerned with diversion, equality, and inclusion. Our message is one of salvation and redemption. And that's it. Everybody can have that. But we need to be sure that we're teaching that more so than just trying to help people deal with their issues where they are without growing in Christ. The other way I want to look at this, not from the lens of the world, but from the lens of us. I have enjoyed every single lesson that Steve Kinney brought us. So many of his lessons were teaching us the difference between tradition and scripture and what we're called to do versus what we get in the habit of doing. There's nothing wrong with tradition. Tradition has its merit, but we cannot put our traditions over the teachings of Christ. And again, I have so much respect for him and what he brought us. But it makes me think about the church. And we long for the past at times. I grew up in the Church of Christ at Elkview. My father was an elder there. And when I think about the Church of Christ at Elkview, we had 120 people on average every Sunday. Small church up Elk River, but 120 people was a good size for that area. And every Sunday, we would get together, and I would go there with my brother, my four sisters, my mom and dad, and we would worship. And it just, when I think about those times, just like we all do when we think about the past, I think of the wonderful things that I learned at that church and learned that church is really your family and that the love we have for each other is not found like that anywhere else in society. But then when I really started thinking about it, my father was an elder, and I learned some things that probably a lot of other kids my age didn't have access to, but it was funny how legalistic we were, and I would not want to go back to a time where the church was like that. We had one woman leave the church because she was upset that women were wearing pants to church. That was not adorning yourself the way you should. Yet this woman wore the latest fashions of the day, which was the tightest miniskirts and the shortest miniskirts that didn't leave much to the imagination. That was okay, but wearing pants was wrong. And it was just a very legalistic viewpoint. I also remember a time when the adult class studied about segregation and integration. And there were people there that felt that that was wrong. And that's so sad. So sad to think that those discussions were held in the church. So we've come a long way since then. But another church I was thinking about this morning, I have a lot of family here, cousins, and we used to get together at my grandparents' farm up in Wileyville. And when our whole family, my dad's family, was all together, there were about 30 of us. And we would go to this little church called Church by the Fishing Creek. The Fishing Creek was the name of the creek. And it was a little church there. And when we showed up, we were over half the congregation. And we would go there on Sunday mornings when we were all at that farm. And again, it was wonderful memories of that time. But then again, there were some traditions that just wouldn't fly with us today. And so I was trying to think about that and think, how can I explain what I think we need to be doing? And as I was studying, I realized that Jesus is in a discussion with the disciples about the end of time. And I don't know what your personal belief of times and biblical prophecy. I have a sister who is very well versed in end of times philosophy and prophecy. And she sees the thing that's going on around us in this world. And she says she knows it's the end of times, but she doesn't know if it's the end of the times for the world we live in, or it's the whole universe, or if it's God's coming back. And our mother used to say, and I believe this, the end of times are coming. It might be your last day on earth, or it might be when Christ comes back. But it's going to happen, so just always be prepared for it. So I've always looked at it that way. But when Jesus was discussing the end of times with his disciples, I think it's important to note that there are over 170 women who are either mentioned directly or indirectly in the scriptures. But the only one that Jesus tells us to remember is during that discussion, he says, remember Lot's wife. And the only thing we know about Lot's wife from Genesis 19, verse 26, and Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. What Jesus was referring to was the angel of the Lord had told them, don't look back. Don't look to what I'm destroying. Don't look at what I'm taking away. What is that which is not good for you? Look to the future. But Lot's wife looked back, and if you look at the original language, that looked back means looked with longing and desire. She looked back at what she had. Her commitment to that was stronger than her belief in what God's promise was for them. And immediately, she became calcified and stuck forever in an area that she was only meant to pass through. I hope that we never get stuck by looking back to our traditions. The church is just losing memberships in an unprecedented rate in this country and maybe even in history. Church attendance is down lower than it's ever been. We have to look to the past, but not to our traditions, but to the Word of God. We have to be inclusive, but not of the world, but of the Christ. We need to find Christ and what he means to us in our life. So what are we looking for? When we look to the church, what are we looking for? I hope we're looking for a transformational relationship with Christ. Because if we can do that, then we will grow this church like never before. Not just here, but around the world. And that's up to us to decide. Christ's given us what we need. I want you to think about Christ for just a minute. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet they called him king. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He ruled no nations, but they called him Lord. He committed no crime, but they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. His kingdom is not of this world, yet it lies in this world in the hearts of those who believe. He spoke of love and forgiveness, and his words have transformed millions. He offers no material wealth, contrary to what a lot of the televangelists tell us, but we consider him the treasure of our lives. In his weakness, we find our strength. In his suffering, we find our salvation. And he continues to invite us into his story of redemption, salvation, and eternal life. If that's not amazing enough for you, I don't know what is. What the world tells us amazing is not amazing. It's what the world wants us to believe so they can control us and have us do their bidding. We need to be inclusive, but we also need to teach the love of the cross and of Christ. And it's available to anybody and everybody who wants it. And it's available this morning. And if this transaction has helped you come closer to Christ, or if you're in a transformational moment with Christ and you want to make a commitment to him, you're certainly welcome to do that as we sing in a few moments. If you just need the love and support of this congregation, the prayers, if you come forward, there'll be people here to do that for you. But I just want you to know that it has been my extreme honor and privilege to stand up here and talk to you. I hope I've said something that has helped you in your walk, has uplifted you. And I just need to say that being a part of this congregation is a much bigger part of my life than I sometimes am able to express. So thank you for that. And if you're so inclined, you can come forward as we sing.
Please stand. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, You can move the mountains. Lord, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, You conquered the grave.
Glad to see everyone out today. Really glad to see John and Cindy Schumann. It's been a while. Glad you're doing okay. And please remember the opportunity on August the 9th and the 10th to be with the, I think it's called the Kanawha Valley Church. We're going to have close to 200 kids. So if you can spare the time, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. I know there's a few of us already going up, so just get in contact with us and let us know if you want to go. We'll get you there. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before Your throne of grace, we come thanking You, Lord, for another day of life, for the love, the mercy, and the grace, and Your faithfulness. I'd ask, Lord, that You'd remember those where death has visited. We pray that You'd comfort them as only You can. Help us to show all the love we can for those who've lost a loved one. And we pray, Lord, please be with us as we search for a minister. Put it on the heart of that person You want here, and please bring him. We pray, God, for all the sick in the congregation. We pray for the healing that comes from You, Lord. And we pray that you'd go with each of us as we go to our separate places. Watch over and protect us through the week and help us that our light might shine. I'll ask, Lord, for strength day each day to do those things that please you. We pray, God, to please be with each one of us through this week. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.